Rich Kimball, Carrie Haskell, and Eric Meehan from Bangor Wine and Cheese Company joining us for this week's Message in the Bottle. Hi there, Eric.
Hey. I can't believe I actually asked for that song, given how much I hear it. It's like the baby shark of my existence, that entire soundtrack these days.
Well, I saw your bride finally got to watch it, and I know what happens after you do that, because it happened to me this summer, and I listened to it pretty much nonstop for about a month.
My son knows every word. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's completely believable. None of us had seen it. We all kind of waited, and of course, there was always that hope sort of pre-COVID that might get to Manhattan, my old stomping grounds, maybe even score some tickets, dare I suggest it. But what a nice thing that they all did, releasing that to the general public, so that we could have something to infest our brains other than just the monotony of the political campaign.
Yes,
although
indeed.
Obviously it's more than a little politically charged and relevant, so I guess it didn't really escape from politics all that much, did you?
No, just different.
The tunes are better.
yes, eminently more hummable than the real world.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it thoroughly, and it's very, very. I mean, I'm a graduate of Hamilton College, which he did not found or anything like that. He served on the board of trustees once he had made a name for himself what became Hamilton College eventually. But the reinvigoration of his name with the Ron Chernow's book, and then it's bizarre. He was sort of the forgotten founding father. So anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the fact that the voice of my youth is retiring. Mike Emmerich is retiring.
Yes.
I'm here to talk about wine. I was devastated. I see. I was in my shower or my bathroom, and Christine's like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, oh. I didn't realize this until today, but since I follow the Devils and everything, and he called the Maine Mariners of the AHL.
Oh yeah, I was telling the story yesterday in my early days in radio. I was doing morning radio, and one of my jobs was to call Mike before he was Doc, call him at 5:30 in the morning to record a Maine Mariners update that we would run on our show.
That is so funny. Well, you know, it's just dumb luck that I happened to like the Devils when he was their announcer, and just, you know, I didn't realize how good I had it until he, you know, went onto the national stage, and I was like, oh, he's that good. Cool. Another thing I wanted to talk about, moving past my sadness about that, before we get to Washington, something kind of interesting happened in the world of wine. This is actually relevant. in Italy, and I kind of wanted to talk about it. I don't remember if I had brought up on air that recently my wife and I stumbled upon this Netflix documentary called Sour Grapes. Sour Grapes is the story of Rudy Kernawan, who was the first person charged and found guilty of wine fraud federally in America, and it's an interesting, you know, I think it's a sort of incomplete telling of the tale, but it's kind of cool if you have Netflix and an hour and a half or so. It's an interesting story. So how that relates, just this week, the Guardia di Finanza, which is the enforcement wing of Italy's Ministry of Economy, arrested two guys for counterfeiting what is easily one of the world's most recognized wines, that is Sassicaia. Sassicaia is a Tuscan blend that it sort of launched what we know as the super Tuscan category, I don't remember the guy's name, but, you know, Count so-and-so or whoever owned this property back in the 50s, wanted to drink Bordeaux and liked Bordeaux. And so he tried to, you know, make Bordeaux essentially in Tuscany by making, you know, taking the Sangiovese grape, but also bringing in Cab, Merlot, some Syrah sometimes. and making these super Tuscan blends. Well, Sassicaia was really one of the ones that started it out. And in 2018, Wine Spectator named Sassicaia's 2015, which, of course, you know, it wouldn't be the 2018 because they don't release wines immediately upon the vintage. So by 2018, the 2015 version of Sassicaia was hitting the shelves and was named the Wine of the Year. So what happened is, as I understand it, somebody found a case of the wine lying on the side of the road.
Wow.
I can tell you, having purchased the wine from my store and having sold it, that's a hell of a thing to find on the side of the road. Now, they're sold in six-packs, okay? Six wooden six-packs, and they're all wrapped in this very certain, you know, tissue paper, essentially. As many of the great wines of the world, if anybody's ever sort of encountered some of the finer wines, they come, you know, wrapped up and packaged nicely in wooden, you know, either 12-packs or 6-packs. It's very common. The problem is that they don't make a lot of it, and it sells for a lot of money, and all of a sudden they're like, what are these? So they brought it to the winery. Now, to foil counterfeiters these days, people may have noticed on bottles, etched very small, you know, and tiny numerals and letters, etc., on usually the bottom, towards the bottom of the bottle, you'll see, you know, essentially what are marks, you know, that indicate that it's legit. And the winery, which is called Tenuto San Guido, said, that's not our wine. The problem was, and this is what I try to tell people when they're always asking about, you know, I'm going to buy wine on an auction site, or what do you think about buying, you know, people's collections, this and that. These wines apparently looked great. So they were vintages from 2010 to 2015, okay, which includes, of course, that Wine of the Year in theory. They had the right sort of bottles. They had the right sort of tissue paper, the capsules, which are the things that, you know, the foil at the top. The boxes, everything was really spot on. And it's crazy. This is according to an article in Spectator itself. The wine came from Sicily. The bottles came from Turkey. Production of labels, capsules, cases, and tissue paper was centered in Bulgaria. It's incredible. And so they were about to package 1,100 of these six bottle cases of the 2015 alone, which authorities, according to this, estimate to have a market value of nearly 2 million euros. So just as, you know, a way of talking about what's going on out there, folks, if you have money, and some of you may, that, you know, you feel like kind of blowing on some wines or whatever, just be wary. There are people out there looking to take your money and give you absolute crap. So it's really interesting. So this just happened. This is fact. But it's not the first time, especially, one hates to suggest it, but it's not the first time in Italy there have been major scandals of counterfeiting and stuff like that. So very, very interesting. Check that out. I'm sure I'm actually running out of time at this point, so we might deal with Washington next week. So I'll just have to come up with another Washington-themed song, because I did want to talk something up really quick. May I have a time check?
We have about a minute and a half left.
Okay, very good. So something very exciting that we just set up. You'll notice an abundance of wines coming into the store over the next couple weeks made by a young lady named Michelle Dupree. Michelle's an old friend of ours at the store. She's a longtime friend and business partner of Chris Campbell, who's been on your show and who, you know, is an importer par excellence, and one of my oldest friends in the business. What we decided to do is have a featured winemaker this holiday season, and feature Michelle's, both her Bordeaux wines as well as the wines that she's making down in the Languedoc-Roussillon. She is the first American woman winemaker, both making wine in Bordeaux and the Roussillon, as well as exporting wine into the U.S. from those places. She's got a lot of stories, a lot of relevant things about, you know, glass ceilings and stuff like that. She's very cool. I mean, she did that boat building course down that they have at Castine or whatever it is. She's fabulous. So we're going to have four packs of her wines and special tastings on the first weekend, I think it's the 8th of November and the 6th of December. that she's going to host. She's going to talk about things. We'll talk about the wines, talk about her stories. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. So do stay tuned, please, for that, because I'm very excited. I think it's going to be a really neat opportunity to get people in touch with the people on the ground. So,
that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. So I will talk to you all about Washington and the rest of the stuff next week, but I'm glad that we got to talk about some relevant stuff today.
Indeed. Eric, thanks as always. Keep the lights on, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Eric Mayne of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle. Here on Downtown, visit Eric and the crew. 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.